in the Warren County Radio Bible School today in our studies in the Christian life, we're beginning a Sunday school lesson on prayer in the Christian life. Would you be known as a person of prayer, or is that maybe how you would describe yourself? Well, I hope it would be. And if not, listen to this, and this may give you some things that will help you become a person of prayer. I'm going to be reading or studying a Sunday school lesson that was prepared by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of January 23rd, 1927 on prayer. Before we get into this lesson, I want to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday school at 9 o'clock and then followed by worship at 10 o'clock, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at this old Sunday school lesson on prayer in the Christian life. I began to read some of the text in our last class, but I'm going to start over. We did not get very far. The first text we're going to look at is Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, where it says, "And in the morning, a great while before the day, he rose up and went out and departed into a desert place to pray." And then Mark chapter 14, 32 through 36. "And they come to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he said unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. And he said unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Abide ye here and watch. And he went forward a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed, if it were possible, that the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Remove this cup from me, howbeit not what I will, but what thou wilt. And then we have this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And bring us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." The golden text for this Sunday school lesson is Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you." The devotional reading is the 63rd Psalm. O God, thou art my God, earnestly will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and weary land where no water is. So have I looked upon thee in the sanctuary, to see thy power and thy glory, because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, so will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. For thou hast been my help, and in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul floweth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. The mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Now let me read to you about the geographical notes. In these lesson texts, we had a reference to Gethsemane. That word, Gethsemane, means oil press. It was doubtless an olive orchard, probably enclosed, where oil was pressed out of its fruit. It was on the western slope of the Mount of Olives, just across the brook Kidron from Jerusalem, and close to the city. The Mount of Olives was only a Sabbath day's journey, or 3/4 of a mile east from Jerusalem, from which it was separated by the Kidron Valley. Kidron means black torrent, and flowed only during the rainy season. Here's some helps and hints for the teachers. The privilege of prayer cannot be too highly appreciated. The need of prayer cannot be too deeply felt. The duty of prayer cannot be too strongly impressed. The elements of acceptable prayer are the conditions upon which God promises to answer prayer should be well understood and faithfully complied with. All prayer embracing these elements or offered upon these conditions will surely be answered, but not everything prayed for will be given. This is the boldness we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of Him. 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. We read, pray without ceasing, and continued steadfastly in prayer. And He spake a parable unto them to the end that they ought always to pray and not to faint. In Mark 1:35, we learn that Jesus prayed in solitude. And in the morning, a great while before the day, He rose up and went out and departed into a desert place to pray. After the events mentioned in the previous part of this chapter, the work and fatigue of a busy Sabbath, Jesus rose early in the morning, a great while before the day, and went into a desert place to pray. He sought the solitude of this place and the quietude of this early hour, while all the city was wrapped in slumber, to commune with His Father. Jesus was a prayerful Savior. He frequently withdrew, even from His disciples, to pray. Sometime He spent a whole night in prayer. It was necessary for Him to pray in order to gain wisdom for His work, strength to resist temptation and accomplish all that He did. If Jesus needed to pray for those things, surely we ought know that we need to pray. Many today yield readily to temptation and accomplish so little because they pray but little or not at all. And it is hard to show such people the necessity and blessings of prayer. They're too blind and too weak to realize their need and to appreciate the privilege of praying. Jesus prayed in Gethsemane when He was alone with God. It says in Mark chapter 14:32 that He oftentimes resorted thither with His disciples, and we read in Luke chapter 22:39 that this was His custom. The owner of the garden was doubtless a friend of Jesus. Having reached the garden, Jesus said to His disciples, sit ye here, while I'll go yonder and pray. 8 of them remained there. Again, we see that Jesus desired to be alone with God in prayer. His deep and abiding interest in his disciples is seen from the fact that in the severest trials of his life and deepest troubles of his soul, he had their future peace and welfare at heart. He was a tearful, supplicant Savior, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, Isaiah 53 and verse 3, and by whose stripes we are healed, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. In deep earnestness and faith in God, one now desires at times to be alone with God in prayer, in the closet, in the still hours of the night, in solitude, somewhere. The heart yearns to draw near to God in prayer. One is nearer to God in prayer when there is not a sight or sound or person to interfere with this blessed communion. Leaving the eight, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and went further into the garden. These three, we remember, were with Jesus in the chamber when he raised Jairus' daughter, and they were with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. This was not partiality or favoritism. These three were prepared and fitted for this. And then it says, he began to be greatly amazed and sore troubled. His natural vigor was overcome by sorrow, and he was oppressed and even overwhelmed in anguish of spirit. This began to be apparent to his disciples. And he was sorrowful, even unto death. He said to the three, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. This explains the sorrow and agony of the preceding verse. It means that unless he found relief, death would ensue. His betrayal was at hand. The mock trial was just before him. And the shadow of the horrible death on the cross was upon him. And he was more than human. He felt all this with more than human sensibility, while the temptation came upon him and all the weakness of humanity. Into this 1 hour were crowded all the horrors, cruelty, shame, and death on the cross, the wickedness and treachery of Judas, the desertion of the 11, the hypocrisy and crime of the Jewish leaders, the rejection by the race of their only Savior, together with the sins of the whole world, were all upon him and overwhelmed him with sorrow. Who, his own self, bare our sins in his body upon the tree, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. He was tried and he died as a criminal between two thieves. He suffered the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, 1 Peter 3 and verse 18. Not simply from the physical suffering of death did he shrink, but his divine nature felt more keenly than mortals can know the horror and awfulness of sin and the calamity of his trial and crucifixion. He was despised and rejected by man. He was bruised and put to grief for the sins of others. As a man, Jesus desired human sympathy. He said to Peter, James, and John, abide ye here and watch with me. In this hour of agony, Jesus desired human sympathy. He had encouraged and comforted his disciples in every hour of trouble and weakness, but now he desired them to watch with him that he might not be disturbed by the traitor and the mob in this hour of communion with God. And we know about his attitude in prayer. We read that he went forward a little, about a stone's cast, Luke 22:41. He would be entirely alone. First, as Luke 22:41 says, he knelt down and prayed. But then, as Matthew states, he fell on his face and prostrated himself. This was the lowest attitude of prayer and expresses a feeling of helplessness, humility, and entire dependence upon God. In prayer, one goes to God in reverence, awe, and humility.